So I want to talk about the next couple of weeks. We want to talk about the questions of Christmas. Questions that the people that were involved with the birth of Christ had every right to ask. How many know that the people that were involved with the birth of Christ, their lives would never be the same? Their lives would never be the same. So I want to start. I found out that Butterball has a Butterball hotline. You can call and ask them about turkeys. And so I looked up some of the questions that were asked. Real questions asked on the Butterball turkey cooking hotline. Number one, is it okay to baste my turkey with engine oil? How'd you like to be invited to that house? Number two, can I poke holes all over the turkey and pour a can of beer over it to keep it moist? Yes, I said beer from the pulpit, yeah. Number three, should I carve my turkey with a 16-inch Red Max or should I get my steel electric chainsaw out? These are real questions. How do I get my chihuahua out of the turkey? Another question, should I leave the giblets in their plastic bag during cooking? Real questions for Butterball Hotline. I'm a truck driver. Can I cook the turkey on the engine block of my semi while I'm driving? If I drive faster, will it cook faster? And the last question, how long should I cook my turkey on the car radiator? This morning we want to talk about the questions of Christmas. Zacharias, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? Let's pray. Father, this morning, Lord, as we look towards your second coming, Jesus, it's been promised so long, our generation has probably talked about it more, had more false prophetic words about your return than any generation before us. God, we're just blundering with the with all the other reports, God, but we know, we sense in our spirit, God, that there is a culmination of things about to happen, Lord. Things are lining up. Your return is near, Father. So we want to settle it in our hearts, God, that you have us here for a reason and a purpose. Someone said this is the anchor lap. Lord, we're running this race for you. And so, Lord, as we ask these questions, Father, may at the same time we ask them, may we have peace about them. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it occurs to me that despite our questions, God is still going to get the work done. And over the next month before Christmas, I want to attempt to address our questions through the people who most had a right to ask them. Today we're going to talk about Zacharias, next week Mary, the week after the wise men, and then, of course, Joseph. And their lives were never the same, and they ushered in the kingdom on this earth at its beginning. Will our lives be any different than theirs? I think not. I have resigned myself to the fact that things will never be the way they were. So if you're longing for the good old days to come back, probably it's not going to happen. Get used to the new world that we're living in. But at the same time, you see, you and I are chosen to usher in the kingdom and its conclusion. These people ushered in the kingdom at its inception. We get to usher in the kingdom of God, which will be established here on this earth in its conclusion. So the question is, Zacharias, how can I be sure? So in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias saw him. He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Underline, your prayer is heard. I could make a joke, but I won't. Can you imagine how long Zacharias prayed? He's well advanced in years, gave up praying for a baby probably a long time ago. Or it could be he was still saying, God, you're the God of the impossible. And you will have joy and gladness, verse 14, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And then verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. Many of us here today have asked God the same thing year after year after year after year after year after year. And some that are older, we've done it for decades. We've asked God to see what he promised that would happen on this earth before his return. We've asked him to see it with our eyes. Maybe more personally and closer to where you live, you've been asking God for a better relationship. You've been asking God for a better position. You've been asking God for a better financial position. You've been asking God and you've tired maybe of asking and saying, God, when will this ever happen? How can I be sure that you're going to answer these prayers? How many know that when you leave this earth, God will not owe you anything? God's not, you're not going to get to heaven and God said, you know what? I forgot to do this for you. Please forgive me. See, we have to first understand going into these questions, how can I be sure that God is God and he'll do what he said he'll do. Number one in your notes here, life will be disappointing, but be faithful. Be faithful. You never know when God is going to call on you. Never know when God's going to answer prayers. Sometimes he doesn't share with us answers until we need them. Terry and I just were remarking the other day, we had a long drive, went down to see my very handsome 12-year-old grandson. He just turned 12 on Tuesday, and we were on our way down, and we were talking about all the years that we've been believing for certain things, and they're just now coming to pass. Just now coming to pass. And we never know when God is going to call on us. Winston Churchill had nearly reached the height of political power in Britain early in his career, and by the age of 33, he was a cabinet member, one of the nation's most popular speakers. Yet a series of events and unpopular positions caused him to lose his political standing, become a subject of ridicule and rejection. By the 1930s, he had been excluded from the seats of power. Churchill's prophetic warnings about Adolf Hitler were ignored by an English public that preferred to hear comforting words of peace. When Britain was plunged into World War II, Churchill was already 65 years of age, eligible to retire on a government pension. Yet at this moment when the nation turned to him and Churchill became the prime minister who inspired the British people to remain firm during the darkest hours of the war. 65 years old and God called him. He was a large presence in World War II. The time of Christ's birth, the time of John the Baptist's birth, the best word that can be used, darkness, is the best word to describe the day into which Christ was born. Spiritually, the nation was dark. Jerusalem was dark. There had not been a prophetic word, think about this, for more than 400 years. Can you imagine that? 400 years, not since Malachi prophesied the coming of Elijah in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, had anyone heard anything from God. The nation was being ruled by Herod the Great. He was a puppet king set up by Rome. History tells us he was a self-absorbed despot who was devoid of any moral scruples. Add to this the religious leaders of the day who were more interested in lining their pockets than serving the people. It truly was a dark day for the nation of Israel. We find ourselves in a dark day here in the United States. We get more excited about Black Friday than we do about abortion. No matter how dark the day, God always has his obedient and devout people. Zacharias and Elizabeth were a godly couple. Luke tells us that they were both righteous before God in verse 6, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. In a day when corruption was the rule rather than the exception, they lived lives of integrity, purity, and honesty, both in private and public sphere. No one could point a finger at them. No one. These were righteous people. Instead of living in the city in special quarters, which they had every right to do, they lived out in a village, out away from Jerusalem, away from the hustle and bustle. They were a godly man and woman. But they had no children. And in Israel, if you didn't have children, you were counted cursed. Something was wrong with your life. I imagine that they had their encouragers. You know, those well-meaning saints who have your best faith interest at heart. Probably they had people just say, just relax. Don't try so hard. Take an extended vacation. Why don't you adopt a child? Have faith. Just trust God. There isn't any unconfessed sin in your life, is there? How many have ever heard those things when you're waiting on God? You know, is there any unconfessed sin in your life because you're asking God for this healing and you're not being healed, so there must be sin? We know God has His timing. Zacharias and Elizabeth were godly man and woman. God was about to change their life. Past childbearing years, can you imagine getting a word from God saying you're going to be a father when you're well advanced in years? John and Ashley Hayes are here with us. They had a promise come to pass. A little baby born into the Hayes family. Amen. She here this morning? She's right there. Hallelujah. Everybody's got advice. People probably had advice for Zacharias and Elizabeth, but God was about to show Himself faithful. Can you imagine how many times Zacharias and Elizabeth on their knees before a holy God asking, God, please give us a child. Please give us a child. Please give us a child. And hearing nothing. I think that we ought to stop giving advice to one another and just pray for one another. Irma Bombeck gives some advice for parents. She says, never have more children than you have car windows. Says, never loan your car to someone to whom you have given birth. Pick your friends carefully. A friend never goes on a diet when you are fat or tells you how lucky you are to have a husband who remembers Mother's Day when his gift is a smoke alarm. Seize the moment, she says. Remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart. Know the difference between success and fame. Success is Mother Teresa. Fame is Madonna. Never be in a hurry to terminate a marriage. Remember, you may need this man or woman someday to finish a sentence. Best advice is there is no guarantees in marriage. If that's what you're looking for, go live with a Sears battery. Life can be disappointing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me just say a few things about that. Stay true to what you know God has said. No matter the time, God will bring His promise to pass. He's proven this with Zacharias and Elizabeth, others in Scripture, Abraham being the first. God said, you're going to have a son and you're going to be the father of many nations. And they had a nursery already, but no children. We are entering a time of the miraculous such as never been witnessed. We just need to hang on. Remember, this word came to Zacharias when there had not been a word from God for 400 years. God chose to first go to Zacharias and He went to the shepherds. Terry and I were talking about that. Can you imagine keeping your mouth shut for 30 years? No way. Can you imagine being a shepherds in the dark and an angel of the Lord shows up and announces, and you go worship Jesus? Can you imagine keeping your mouth shut about that? No way. You talked about that for years. Showed Polaroids all over the place. See this baby? That's the Messiah right there. I saw him. I worshiped him. Zacharias was about to have his life change. 400 years, and the angel of the Lord comes to an old man and says that his son would be used to usher in the kingdom of God. Put this in perspective a little bit. Roman numeral 2 in your notes, God has placed you where you are. Be content. Unsettling is the tool of the enemy. To be unsettled and be unsure, to be always tense, anxious. The other side is to be lethargic and say nothing will ever change. Be content. Godliness with contentment, the scripture says, is great gain. Zacharias was one out of 20,000 priests in Israel. He served at the temple in Jerusalem for 2 1-week periods each year. So 2 weeks out of the year, the rest of the 50 weeks, he was, whatever he did for a living, you know, he got 10%, he got his 10% from the children of Israel, but he had other things that he did. But at the daily sacrifice of offering the incense at the daily sacrifice, a priest could only do this once in his lifetime. This was his day on stage. All of his family was there. All of his friends were there. The congregation was there. They were outside the holy place. They were in the outer court of the temple, and they were praying, and they were ready. And he got to go in and stand in the holy place alone. Imagine what perfect timing must have been in place for this life-changing event to take place. The angel of the Lord shows up at that day, at that time, when he's standing, doing the only thing that he could, the only time that he could ever do it in his whole lifetime, and the angel of the Lord shows up. Number one, we must learn to trust the overruling providence of God. God is God. He's in charge. He doesn't forget time. He doesn't need a Timex watch. He doesn't need reminded. He doesn't need an elbow in the rib. God knows the perfect timing. Genesis chapter 45, 5, for those of you who are taking notes. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. That we get an example with Joseph. Joseph had a promise, and his brothers sold him into slavery, but he says God had a plan. Amen. And any time you could look at Joseph's life and go, man, somebody sold you a bill of goods. Your dad gave you a coat of many colors. You had these dreams. You had all this. You are a loser. God is in control, my friends. God is not slack concerning the promise. Whatever that is in your personal life, whatever God has said to you, stand your ground and possess that which is yours. Wait on God, because God will bring it to pass. Joseph would go through many trials to say the words he said to his brothers. You, my friend, are on a course of destiny. The great commentator F.B. Meyer once said, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above the other, and that the taller we grew in Christian character, the more easily we should reach them. I find now that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other. It is not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower. We have to go down, always down, to get His best gifts. The humility that Zacharias must have felt. Here he was, a priest, being called. His question was, how will I know this? How can I know this? I'm past childbearing years. I haven't even prayed that prayer for a long time. What are you doing here on the most important day of days? Telling me something that I know is impossible. Look at me. How am I going to have a baby? My best interest is Metamucil. Not my wife. Secondly, we must seek the unfailing power of God. The unfailing power of God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or hope for. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when Paul was writing this, he was in chains. Paul was writing these words with a guard watching him. Where is the place of contentment in this life? To be obedient and patient is the epicenter of the storms in this life that have brought us these trials that we're going through. God is unfailing in His power. God is faithful, powerful, and available. That is where we have a problem. Availability and a capability. Let me ask you two questions this morning. Do you have faith that God can do what He says? Come on, by applause, do you have faith that God can do what He says? Now I want you to think secondly about this second question. Do you have faith that God will do what He says? Yeah. Come on, somebody. Because you may be clapping outside, but sometimes inside we say, God, I know that You can, but for some reason, I'm either not worthy, or I'm not in the right place, or I missed You a long time ago, I'm not in Your will anymore. You must believe that God's unfailing power will cause the things. He never teases us. God has no capability of teasing. If he said it, and that's the question you have to ask, is this God that told me I'm going to be financially well off, I'm going to have a good marriage, and my kids are going to serve you? Whatever, did God say that? And if he did, he's a God of his word. He will never go back on his word. Which leads me to the third one. We must believe the unfailing promise of God. Psalm 73 says, whom am I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is in control. We must believe his promise is unfailing. What happens if I die before? What happens if I... Don't worry about any of that. God will take care of it. If he said he'll do it, he'll do it. If he has to raise you from the dead. God's promises are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. God had a promise. Number three, Roman numeral three, God has a plan. Trust him. God has a plan. He planned your life. He planned for you to be born. He planned for you to have the person. Look at the person beside you, husband, wife, and say, God had a plan for us to be together. Now, some of you are exercising great faith this morning. God had a plan for you. And however it worked out, you're in God's plan. If you've been disobedient, if you've been rebellious, if you've taken a couple detours like I have, how many know I'm the king of detours, see? Here's God's will for our life, just a straight line across, and here's us. Come on, somebody. Anybody there with me? Once in a while you intersect with God's will. But God says, I want you to just stay in my will. Zacharias and Elizabeth, can you imagine? Put yourself in his sandals. Here's a guy that just once in a lifetime thing in the holy place. I don't know if he's even thinking about children or the curse or anything. He's thinking about, man, am I going to do the incense right? Am I going to do this right? People are praying for me. I've got my priest things on. I washed. My hair looks great. I'm standing there and the angel of the Lord says, you're going to have a child. And not only are you going to have a child, he's going to turn all of Israel back to God. He's going to bring the fathers and the children together. Zacharias is going, what? Tapping his hearing aid? What? These guys would never be the same. Zacharias would never be the same. How can this be? He says, how shall I know this? For I am an old man. Preparation for once in a lifetime happening must have been a little nerve-wracking for Zacharias. He had never done it before. He had been trained about it. He'd never changed incense on the altar. He'd be alone all by himself in the holy place while people waited for him outside. And says, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. Zacharias is going, which prayer is that? That I did right with the incense? That I look okay? That I'm holy enough? Whatever. I mean, he must have been praying a whole bunch of prayers at that time, see? See, there's a whole lot of questions that we have, but what is the question that drives you to your knees year after year, month after month, week after week, however long it's been? How long have you prayed that prayer? Don't give up. Stand on it. I believe if they were righteous, the scripture says they were both righteous. They were both descendants of priests. They came from the Levitical priesthood. They were both godly people. I believe they were praying that prayer no matter. I'd like to believe that very morning, God, if it be possible, could we have a child? Don't give up on God. Righteously call to him, and no matter how long it's been, he's about to answer. How many times did Zacharias pray for a child? If he prayed every day and he was 80 years old and he prayed since he was married at 14 or 15, how many times? How many times had there been disappointment? And the big question is, because I really don't know. I didn't talk to Zacharias. One of these days I'll have to sit down and have a cup of decaf with him. Zacharias, how many times did you pray? When did he stop praying? The angel was very encouraging. We're not even talking about Elizabeth. Can you imagine Elizabeth? Holy fake. I'll pay, but she's outside cheering for her husband. Yay, Zacharias, he's in there. Let's all pray. He comes out, he can't talk. Struck dumb and deaf. Can't talk. He's making signs. She says, what in the world? You really messed up now. Come on, Zacharias. How many times did I tell you? What did you do wrong? You dropped the incense, didn't you? One time. You had one time. You couldn't get it right. Zacharias is looking for something to write on. They get out to their village home. Zacharias says, sit down, I got something to tell you. Sit down, I said. Why can't you talk? Open your mouth. We are going to have a baby. She's saying, you better go back to the temple. Can you imagine this conversation? It must have ensued, one-sided conversation, writing on a tablet. Zacharias is saying, we're going to get pregnant. We're going to what? If you're trying to make a joke, young man, she's talking to him, you're trying to make a joke with me. Can you imagine the conversation? What is the process that they had to go through? Finding her husband in the most important time in his life, deaf and mute, hearing the news through her husband, not through Gabriel. There was no angel that appeared to her. She wasn't like Sarah. She didn't say, go and find a concubine. She had stood with her husband all the years, mocked at. Every time they did anything for 2 weeks, everybody said, there's the couple. There's the priest and his wife. There must be kind of some kind of sin in their life. She's still not pregnant. She had no child. And she can't even play piano. Fulfilling the process physically, mentally, and spiritually. Can you imagine? Says, honey, we're going to have a baby. How can this be? I mean, John the Baptist preached. When he preached, all of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria came out. There was instructions. Oh, not only are we going to have a baby, but he can't have any strong wine or strong drink. He'll be raised in righteousness. And my question to you is, what is the process you have to go through to get to a place of belief that results in action from you? If God has said that it will happen, do it. They had to go through the whole thing physically, mentally, and spiritually. They had to go through the process. The Holy Spirit didn't overshadow Elizabeth. They went through the whole process a husband and wife goes through to have a baby. Can you imagine the obedience, without getting too depictive? Can you imagine the obedience that they had to go through till finally she says, I think I'm pregnant. I know I'm pregnant. And then Mary comes to visit her and the Holy Spirit fills John the Baptist in the womb and he leaps in the womb. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? But it all started with the visitation of the angel saying to Zacharias, your prayer has been answered. I don't know about you, but my first retort for that would be, well, it's about time. What action needs to take place in you to get back to that place in your spirit to say, doggone it, I'm going to have this prayer answered. I'm going to continue to pray until the answer comes. If God has not closed the door, keep knocking on it. What are your expectations of that action and how will it change your life? Maybe God said for you younger people, maybe God said there's a way that I want you to go, that I just want you to trust me. Maybe if you're in a marriage that you're not too sure about, begin to ask God to strengthen the marriage and watch him answer. Luke 1:18, but Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? In other words, he's saying, that's impossible. I'm an old man and my wife is an old lady. The angel of the Lord says, I stand in the presence of God. Because you didn't believe me, you're not be able to hear or speak. You'll be mute. But the promise still came. He didn't disqualify himself from the promise, even though he had doubt and unbelief. No matter what, God is going to bring his promises to pass in our generation. Watch what he says. Verse 19. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And I want to leave you just with a couple thoughts this morning. Number one, determine now that you will not be sidelined in any way. For the events that are unfolding now in the Spirit are about to happen. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Not only corporately as a church, but individually, I believe we're living in a time of blessing of the Lord. The spirit of death has had its way long enough in our nation. The spirit of life will be unleashed in the church and that those who remain in the church. Stand, rebuke, and get rid of any doubt or hesitation. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let him not think he'll receive anything from God. settled in your spirit, rebuke and get rid of any doubts or hesitations. Because the Spirit of God called Zacharias and his wife godly people, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. I don't know what their life was like in the secret, but God said openly, right here, he said they were blameless. Despite being childless, they glorified God. Come against any doubt or hesitation in your life or unbelief. Release your faith for the promises. Begin to make faith statements as if it's already happened. I tried that with my looks. It didn't work. I gave up. It's a little joke. You can laugh. Release your faith for the promises that God has made you. By golly, if he said it, it will come to pass. Write it down. Write it on your refrigerator. Put it in the front of your Bible. Carry it around with you. Put it in your hold your promises. I hold my promises before me. I got my God's promises on the wall in my office. I look at them every day. They're promises that I know is going to come to pass in my life. I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not going to be taken aside. I'm not going to have any doubt or unbelief. I'm going to stand on it because they're the promises that come from God. I don't even have time. I wouldn't have time if we did 6 weeks. The promises that came to pass in Zacharias' life, this was prophesied by the prophet Malachi, the Italian prophet Malachi. Never mind. This was foretold 400 years before. For he will restore the children to the fathers and the father to the children. Zacharias was standing on a fulfillment of prophecy 400 years in the making. You say, man, we got nothing over on Zacharias. God promised to pour his spirit on all flesh. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We got the knowledge of religion covering the earth. Now we need the knowledge of the Lord. His promises will come to pass. Release your tension about the timing. Get rid of the watch. Get rid of the time. Get rid of the thing saying, God, you know, I've waited long enough. Patience and long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit for you. Come on, somebody. Stand on it. Believe it. God's going to bring it to pass. Get a prayer partner. Get somebody to pray with you. I'll pray with you. I'll believe with you. Release your tension. Relax. God's in control. Somebody said to me, you know, years ago after 9-1-1, 3 weeks after that happened, I climbed on a plane and flew to Florida. I said, I have no fear if God's going to send me. They said, well, it may not be your time, but what if it's the pilot's time? So, I believe God will keep the pilot alive because he's got a man of God on the plane that needs to get where he's going to be. Come on, somebody. Think about all the things. Man, I can't even go into it. Think about all the things because they were scheduling 20,000 priests. Here's Zacharias. Okay, it's Zacharias' turn. Let's put him on the 4th of August. You know, he's going to be led by God. Led by God. Casting lots for who priest was going to be where and what time and what. Casting lots. And God was in the lot. God was in the thing. God was in the whole deal. From the time the 20,000 priests were made 20,000 priests, God says, on this time, on this day, I'm sending Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, is going to stand before Zacharias and bust open the kingdom on this earth. Amen. Zacharias is some old guy going, what? How can this be? If God can do all of that, he can answer your prayer. I love that we're in an impossible place. I love that this nation is going, what? You look at the political landscape, the candidates, you go, I don't want to vote for anybody. God's in control. Rejoice for the hour which is upon us. This is the greatest hour the church has ever known. Hallelujah. We're here. I believe we'll see in the next couple of months such an outpouring of God's Spirit. You watch. Spirit of death has had its chance for 14 years. Longer. Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is going to be poured out on this nation. Stand fast. Stay put. Don't go off half-cocked and try to make things happen. All you'll do is fall down flat on your face like our sister fell on her belly. Get up, dust yourself off, stand fast in God, and he'll bring it to pass. Father, I thank you for your promises. Thank you for your promise to Zacharias. Lord, without John the Baptist declaring your word, Father, that would have never happened the way you planned it to happen. Father, but you had your timing. You spoke to Zacharias, an old man, Lord, that brought forth your promise, prophesied afterwards at the birth of John what would happen, and indeed it came to pass. God, help us. We don't see tomorrow. Maybe we're not supposed to, Lord. Maybe we're not supposed to see what I believe we're not, because if we saw what you saw and what you see, Father, we'd try to make it come to pass. But Father, help us to be patient, long-suffering children that wait on you. Your promises that are yes and amen in Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you on Wednesday.